Grant, O Lord, that through the written word and the spoken word, we may draw ever closer to your living word, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Wedding seating plans are notoriously difficult to get right. There's the top table, should you have one, and who should sit there? What about family hierarchy, dynamics, or conflicts? In the case of our own wedding, we asked, what should we do with all the philosophers? Put them together so they turn the reception into a seminar? Mix them up so they interrogate unsuspecting relatives? Wedding seating plans are not easy to get right. And then there's the bigger question for anyone planning a wedding or social gathering. Who's invited and who isn't? In the Gospel reading, Jesus uses the dynamics of wedding banquets and dinner parties to talk about a different set of dynamics and a different sort of table. He has been invited to dinner by an important religious leader, a leader of the Pharisees. The guests jostle for the best seats. They are all watching him, interested to know where he will sit and what he will say. Never one to miss a teaching opportunity, he tells two stories, making it clear that his ideas of power, influence, and hierarchy run counter to the dynamics of this distinguished gathering. To the guests, he offers some teaching about humility. When you are invited to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. Go and sit down at the lowest place. The dynamics of self-promotion to reach social advancement did not fit well with the inherited Jewish wisdom, the wisdom of the prophets, the idea of walking humbly with your God. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. To the host, he offers some teaching about hospitality. When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they invite you in return. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Rather than inviting those who can enhance their social status, the host is asked to invite the people who are most in need of hospitality. Of course, Jesus isn't just talking about weddings or dinner parties. He's talking about the kingdom of God, the coming but not yet realm of God, where all are welcome, where hospitality is free, where those on the margins are placed at the center. He's talking about the kingdom of righteousness, that is, right relationship with God and one another, right living through hospitality, mutual love, and humility. As usual in the Gospels, the mystery of God's kingdom is approached indirectly through images or stories designed to make us think and explore for ourselves how, in Christ, the kingdom of God has come near. Many of these stories and images involve eating, banquets, and tables. One commentator goes as far as to say that in Luke's gospel, nothing is more serious than a dining table. In all cultures, the table is the place where a community's identity is marked and discovered. A Near Eastern proverb declares, "I saw them eating and I knew who they were." When we see Jesus eating and sharing table fellowship, we know who he is. And by knowing who he is, we know most fully who God is and who we are and what the kingdom of God is like. At Christ's table, humility is valued because no amount of working your way up the hierarchy is going to guarantee you the best seat. At Christ's table, humility is valued because God is our host and we have done remarkably little to earn our own invitation. The table is not just where we say grace, It's where we receive grace. At this table, humility is valued because all presumptions of privilege based on social class, age, ethnicity, gender, nationality, sexuality, or any other factor are unimportant. At Christ's table, all have equal worth. All are invited to grow into a deeper relationship with God in Christ. This is not something we can work our way into by jostling for the best seat or proving our worth. It's something we grow into slowly, prayerfully, sometimes painfully, as our inherited notions of power, success, or influence are turned upside down, as we seek to follow a different way, a better way, a way our world so desperately needs to learn. To quote T.S. Eliot, the only wisdom we can hope to acquire is the wisdom of humility. Humility is endless. What would the political situation in our country look like at the moment if our political representatives had truly followed the path of this wisdom? Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. At Christ's table, hospitality is valued because hospitality is about making space, and this table has space for all. At Christ's table, hospitality extends in the broadest possible way. Many will come from north and south and east and west to eat in the kingdom of God. At Christ's table, there are as many different people and perspectives as you could possibly imagine. There are people there who do not look like me or act like me or think like me, and this helps me to understand the nature of God a little better. At Christ's table, hospitality breaks down barriers. As we learn from one another by putting our different voices around a common table, fear of the other will cease. But there needs to be a table, and there need to be different voices there. Shutting down discussion, removing the table, can only lead to fear and confusion. And that's all I need say about the current situation in Westminster. Here in this church, we rightly celebrate our open door. But what are our table manners like? Who's on our guest list? Is there space for more? Who is missing? How ready are we to talk to the people we don't know, or who are not like us, or who don't share our views, and let the love of Christ guide our conversations? In this church, people do come from north and south and east and west, from Headington Quarry, Risinghurst, Wood Farm, and further afield if you read our visitor book, Egypt, California, Canada, even from Cambridge. Can we extend our hospitality further? Might we view our building plans in light of this vision? To take the example I began with, one of the best things about going to a wedding and sitting with people you don't know is the chance to make friends of strangers. That, I think, is something of what the kingdom of God is like. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. At Christ's table, all are invited. At Christ's table, love draws us in, and we are asked to share the good news of this love with others. At Christ's table, love bids us welcome, and all we need to do is sit and eat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.